Well, this morning we're going back into our teaching, which was titled A Covenant, A Blessing, and we're looking at this covenant that God made with Abraham. We're into the thing now where God has given him a name, his name Abraham. Last week we looked at the God visiting him, and we found out there was three men that showed up, but we found out the one who he called the Lord, that word is Jehovah. It was Jehovah who he did. So that was God. And we're going to find out it was two of these other two with him were two angels. And so God manifested as in a human form. Doesn't mean he was human. And these two angels manifested. You know, the Bible tells us to, you know, that you and I should be aware of the fact of entertaining strangers. We might be entertaining angels. Well, they might look like a human being and might be because, in other words, they can appear so much like a human being that you wouldn't know. Through the scriptures, you'll find out, go back to the Old Testament. Many times people were, an angel appeared, they didn't know it was an angel day after he left. They didn't know. And so you may have manifestations like that. Those things can go on. I've never had an angel manifest in that way that I knew. I've known about angelic things where their influence was in things. I knew that from a standpoint. But from this, today we're going to look at this because what happened was is really the main reason that God came and visited Abraham that day. He reinforced the fact that Sarah was going to have a child and it was going to take place the following year. But he came because of what was going on down in Sodom and Gomorrah. That's why he came. And he came and the whole thing of it is he wanted to talk to Abraham about it. And so Abraham and him went through a negotiation, you know. And the whole point of it is understanding authority. He made a covenant with him. And somebody you need about covenant is, you know, different people today, we call like contracts and stuff people have. We try to equate the two. Contracts are not covenants. People may use the term, but a covenant, just like in this circumstance, about dealing with people in the earth and what's going on, this covenant meant the fact that Abraham's in the earth, he's connected with God and God's connected with him. And so what goes on in the earth, even with other people, God doesn't do it without talking to him. Your bank, you get a contract on a loan, they don't talk to you about the guy across town, what he's doing. They don't talk to you about that. You need to understand, covenants are a different thing. We're in connection with God. The influence that a person has connected to God. And this is one of the great things is most Christians, we live a very sheltered in knowledge of the idea of God. We think it's a big deal that you get a prayer answered and we don't. But really, in the scope of everything, it's amazing we don't get involved in a lot more with God. It's amazing that we don't have the knowledge to do it, yet it's there to do. We take scripture and instead of expanding in its knowledge, we sort of diminish, we get these little tight places that we stay into and not gaining the fact of how far God wants to take us and our influence into things. The depths that we can go and influence. And so we need to know these things. Well, what happens is we find out that in his negotiation, he finally went down to the fact because he said, Sodom and Gomorrah, what is going on down there? And you need to get a hold of this. What is going on down there in the New King James? The Lord, the Jehovah said that the sin down there is very grave. But that word, if you look up the Greek word, it really is the idea of it's evil. This is really evil what's going on down there. So you need to understand this today, whether people like the fact of the things that we're dealing today with homosexuality and lesbianism, all that, that is really evil. It's not by the church, as general, as a standard. We don't consider it really evil. You know, I remember when abortion used to be just terrible, and now it's accepted by even much. Well, it goes on out here. Yes, we don't like it, but we don't really, and it's grave evil. It is not evil. We got used to it. We're used to it being around. And our politicians who are Christian, they're used to being around. They won't even say it's evil with the Christians. They won't even say it. Why? You get in trouble. I'm selling it.
Amen.
It's evil. See, I lived in that evil. That's what God, that's what Jesus Christ changes you. That's what the blood of Jesus Christ did to me, changed me. Amen. That I could identify evil. And see, we're going to talk about today, we're going to look at this because these two angels that are with Jehovah went down to Sodom. And we're going to look at this because this is a really tragic story. It's a really tragic story which happens to a righteous man and his family. What happens when you're righteous and you get used to sin? Because a lot of Christians are in that place today.
Amen. Preach.
We need to talk about it. We're singing about the blood this morning. I'll tell you what. Christians have no idea about the cleansing of the blood because we don't. It might be things people generally we might think about, say something about it, but we don't need it. I tell you, there's a lot of cleansing need going on today from stuff. If you don't identify evil for being evil, then you can be around its practices and sin, and it'll affect your life and maybe even destroy you. Just like if we take with, we're going to find out with dealing with Lot here. Lot's family got ruined over this thing. Everything falls apart. Why? Getting used to evil. You're getting used to it. You know it's wrong, but you get used to it. We want to start off here in, we're going to go to chapter 19. And we're going to look at some things going into this to see what's going on here. Now in chapter 19, verse 1, we're going to just go there. And it says, now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. It says, when Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Now, I want you to see something here, what it says about him. He's sitting in the gate of the city. We need to understand the importance of what that's talking about, him sitting there. If you study Scripture, and I can't go through to, we don't have time to go all through. You can go through Scripture, especially the Old Testament, you go through the Scripture. The gate of the cities where things were judged. That's where the judges and stuff sit and things, whether they did from regular civic stuff that went on that needed to be judged, maybe even business things or even had to do with the law and different things. They had judges and that's where it was judged in the cities. If you find out through and read scriptures, you'll find out it talks about the judges in the city. They sat at the gates. That's what they did. The gate of the city is where they would do it. Here we find him sitting there. So it shows us something concerning him because we have here, he must have had some kind of authority, a leadership position in the city. Lot is now. And it says, so he's sitting in the gate of Sibley. Likely he held a position of authority there. So he must have been acting as a judge or something from the city. And, when we look at this, so he is involved something to do with the governance of the city. Now just think about this. Here he is a guy and he's in this place. And so we need to understand like what they did there. And his presence there indicated the job, the act. So he was participating in some way or other. How on earth he ended up with this position might be. Number one, the scripture tells us about him. When he went down there, the scripture we read before, he went down to Sodom. It says he camped by the city. Now he ain't camped by the city. He lives in it. He lives in the city. We no longer find out as you read the story. He don't seem to be a sheep herder anymore. Where's all the guys that he had, that they had the contrast between him and Abraham? We don't hear nothing about it anymore. He's in the city. You know, he's got position. He's got a position now. And so we need to understand this. How did he get that position? Well, we found one thing we read the story about. He's living down there. There's four kings. Remember the four kings that came and attacked the area and against these five kings? And he was hauled off and all his stuff and all of Sodom and all that stuff. And everybody was hauled off. So there's nobody down in that town. Well, Abraham goes and he gets everything and brings everything back for that these five kings lost. He brings it back. I would assume this. I didn't say God told me, but I would assume from human nature. This is human nature. He probably moved into town. He thought of being secure. I don't know why the other kings came and took it anyhow. But this is how humans think. This is what it's like people today. You know what most people's safety is? Your phone. You think you're safe with that, son? Oh, yeah. Now, you might likely think, lots of people, they want to have their kid to have his phone to go with. This is safety. Oh, I'm going to tell you what, you could throw Jesus out of the window quick. Don't take the phone. Oh, maybe we'll quit meddling there and going. Oh. But see, what you consider safety. Well, it's number two. Under human nature, this king, I'm sure, he wants to stay under the good graces of this guy named Abraham now, you know? Because this guy's the one that, you want to have him on your side if trouble comes. So I wouldn't be surprised. He probably did some appointing of him and bringing him in. You know, Abraham will like us because, you know, he's his uncle, you know, and he's a guy in here. So we'll give him a position. What do you think? See, he got a position now. See, he's a somebody in the town now. Now, understand this. Now, see, this is one thing. Here's one thing that prosperity and these things that we need to judge ourselves. Prosperity can bring you a security in the natural that could rob you spiritually. This thing did rob him spiritually. It robbed him from where he was. It robbed him. He moved in. He's got, hey, we're living in a house now. We're not moving around in tents like that Abraham guy anymore. You know, we got a place. We're going to find out how much it meant to him. His wife couldn't stand to leave it. Even in the middle of all that sin. See, your heart can get stuck someplace. That ain't good. See, this is one of why you want to. This is the thing is I love. See, Abraham always stayed focused toward God. Smart man. Amen. He's prosperous and stuff, but he stays focused toward God. This man, his greatest treasure was his son, and he's going to be willing to give that up. He's going to be willing to sacrifice. Believe God's going to raise him from the dead. It's amazing. We see a difference in quality. Now, this is not just to knock Lot, but we want to learn from this today. You know. These things, it says, were written for our admonition or our learning. And we have not learned from this stuff. This is one of our problems. The church has not learned. We've spent all our time focusing. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of things that I learned. There's things that I learned not to do by watching what happened to other people do them. And I learned, oh, you don't want to do that. You know what? Lots of times the things that I learned from were things that at first looked like people were doing were all right. Amen. Were good. And I watched over time. I've watched Christians that I know, nice people, good people, but over time it's cost them dearly things that they've done. Amen. Oh, it didn't show up right away, but over time it has cost them and cost them. And they're down the road and they're wondering why things in their life, and we're believing God, why ain't it working? You're still reaping what you sowed. And you don't even, have never stopped and repented of it. Say, you know, we did this evil over here. That was wrong what we did.
Amen.
We're still getting the crop. We're still those seeds are still in the ground. This is what we did. Now, look, I realize I'm the only guy that ever did anything like that. I realize you guys are wondering about me. Anyhow, talk of this stuff. But this man, he has position. He has a place here. But as we're going to look at this, we're going to find out this place, position he had, has really compromised his life. It's really compromised him. It's put him in a bad position. He's in a place that it's not good. He's put a place in where he's really messed his family up. He's really messed his family up badly. See, this is one of the things. God is not mocked. Written to the church in Philippians. God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he's going to reap it.
Amen.
And don't say, if I ask God to forgive me, I won't reap it. Mm-hmm. That's preached today. Let's preach by faith, people. Like, well, you just go out and you do something. Just ask God to forgive you. It goes away. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. That ain't the way it works. There's people in prison today. Christians in prison. I know. I ministered to Christians in prison. God forgave them what they did. But the state got them locked up. Mm-hmm. They're reaping what they sowed. Mm-hmm. See, people need to understand. They come to a place. I had to tell Christians in prison, you know, yes, God to forgive you, but you need to learn one thing, why you're here. Mm-hmm. Or you know what? You'll repeat. All they ever think out, well, God forgive me, I ought to get out of jail. No, you don't need, until you learn why you got there, mm-hmm. and learn you don't do those things, so you don't go back there. No. You're going to be just like, I watch Christians that ain't no different than the sinners are. The 86%, they're part of that, end up back in jail again. Because they don't learn. Learn nothing. They just go on. This fact. Well, yeah, God forgive me and I get out of jail. They never learn. Never learn. See, we need to know that there's a cost to all this. And we're looking at this thing. This is a terrible cost. It's a horrible thing. Because this whole thing is, we got into this thing. Well, you know, my sin, that just has to do with me. I'm sorry. It has to do. This bled into his whole family. This bled into the future generations. We don't even see at this time. These people that came out of him ended up being a nation and ended up fighting against Israel. He started off under this covenant thing. So when we look at this guy, one of the things we need to see is he started off with Abraham. When Abraham came out of the land, Abraham is told, they know about God. Abraham builds altars and gives sacrifices to the Lord. He's there. Lot's there. He knows about this. Lot believed in this, and we can prove it by Scripture. He believed Abraham was hooked up with God because of the idea. Abraham said, you wouldn't destroy the righteous with the wicked, would you? Well, Abraham surely must believe Lot was righteous. He was believing the right thing. Faith is by what you believe, and by faith, it isn't, you aren't righteous just because you go to a church or you go to that. It's not based on, it's based on faith.
Amen.
This man believed this stuff. He was part of the worship of what they were doing when they were sacrificing and stuff. He believed in it. But what happens is, he got down there, and he ain't doing that anymore. He has the believing, but he ain't practicing it. I'm going to tell you, you need to understand this with people. People that, I'm a Christian, I don't go to church. They are never going to practice being a Christian, ever. The reason you keep practicing Christian, you go to church, you get around people, and you keep up the practice. You get away. People who get away from it don't hang around with other Christians. They're always looking for somebody that's in the flesh to be around.
Mm-hmm.
And they hang around with that. Oh, they might be a Christian, but they ain't practicing it. And they're open for major problems from the devil. Oh, they're righteous. They believe right. You ask them about, oh, they do. They believe they got saved. They got born again. But they're on a path to reap things that ain't good. And we're going to find a Lot. Lot's in the same way. We ask the question, was Lot a righteous man? Was he? What does the Scripture say? Well, the Bible seems to tell us, if you go to 2 Peter, the second chapter, I'm going to read to you there. The Bible says he was righteous. See, you can have people who are born again that look like hell. They live like hell. They act like hell. But they're believers. You can have people that say they're believers and live good lives and they ain't saved at all. Oh, there's people today. You know, there's people in hell today thought for sure. Kenneth E. Hagin, when he first died, he thought he was a Christian because he was a member of the church. He was 15 years old, a member of the church. He told the Lord, he's on his way to hell. And he said, Lord, I've been baptized in water. I'm a member of the church. And he's on his way to hell. Oh, we have so much religious believing even in the Spirit-filled church. So much religious junk. We don't know who's saved and who's not. Oh, you went through the ritual. I was in a church and I was baptized and I was not saved. I got water baptized. I wasn't saved. I didn't get saved until 30 years old. I was like 12 years old when I got baptized. And if I'd have died, I went to hell. Water baptism don't save you. Believe me, I know. People go through religious stuff, and we have all of it. I did the religious routine. You know what? Salvation ain't of the mind. So many people have salvation of the mind. They say, well, I believe. They aren't talking about heart belief. They're talking about what they believe in their head. That's all they're talking about, what they believe in their head. That's what they got. Well, we find out here in 2 Peter, the second chapter, in verse 4 says, "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of the eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly." You notice he says a preacher of righteousness. In other words, people believed what he preached, they'd be righteous. Now it says, "And turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterwards would live ungodly." Now what is the force? What did he do that for? Making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. They were an example of ungodly people. Not ones God accepts. "And delivered," listen to this, "righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust until punishment for the day of judgment." We need to understand this. He moved in there. He's living among that. It torments your soul. Do you do things and hang around stuff that torments your soul? You need to quit it. I don't care if you call them a friend. Ungodly people, you need to be careful what the Bible calls friend and what you call friend.
Amen. Preach.
Friends are people that influence into your life. We're going to find out he ain't got a friend in this town. He don't have no friends. Ungodly people ain't my friends. I know them, they're acquaintance. I don't be ugly to them, I'm nice to them. Friends are somebody who's close to me, who I can turn around and trust and be around. Anybody else, they say, "I'm a good Christian," hanging around, they say, "Oh, this person, my close friend." Say, "Man, I'm going to tell you, you're probably into sin. Because we know what they're like. And they're your close friends, there's a good chance you are too." You're into things. See, we're living a world around people. All this stuff is around me. But I don't make a friendship with the world is enmity to God, or you're an enemy of God. That's what it means.
Amen. Preach.
Worldly people ain't my friends.
Come on.
See, I'm drawing lines that, amen, I'm going to tell you that only probably 0.1% of the church would draw this line. But it's biblical. Well, we don't want to draw them lines. No, we don't want to do that. They might think we're bad people. I don't give a rip what they think. I'm not interested. I'm only interested in what God thinks of me. God's the one that saved me, not them folk.
Amen.
I'm not moving into their city. I don't need a better job.
Amen.
A better position is not worth.
Amen. Preach.
Everybody wants to get the top. I want to rule over somebody. I'm just trying to rule over me.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. It's a lot of work.
Amen.
See, everybody wants to get, you know, I want position. I don't want position. It's not important.
Amen.
And so we want to walk and live in this place. Lot was a righteous man. But his soul, he got his mind and his will got all messed up. I will guarantee you, he wasn't sacrificing down there to God. He wasn't building altars like Abraham did. He's not doing that. He's in the town with these folks. I got a gate to sit at. I'm important, you know. Everybody comes in and out of here, they see me. Woo-wee. I got a spot now. Mama's got a house, you know. This is a messed up. He doesn't realize he's on a downhill. He's on a roller coaster, and you don't go down the hill, you never go up one. It's just down the whole way. It's down forever. This is a road that ain't good. And so we want to go on and look at this thing and seeing what happened here. Now it goes on here. We're going to go on back to Genesis 19. And we're going to go back there and look at verse 2. And it says, "And he said, Hear now, my lords," he's talking to these angels. Now, he don't know they're angels, they're men to him. He says, "Please turn into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go on your way." And they said, "No, but we shall spend the night in the open square." That's what these angels said. But look what happened. But he insisted strongly, so they turned into him and entered into his house. Then he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Now let me say this. This man knew what it's like in this town. He says to me, oh, you don't stay a night. Here he is living in this place, and you don't go the square at night. Oh, no, you don't go there. Why? He knows what it's like. He knows what goes on there. Because he's going to find out. It's because he shows up at his door. It's in this place where he got this job, this position. He's a judge. And he ain't judging nothing. These people are dominating, ruling. He just has a position, a meaningless position. But it makes him feel good, like he's a somebody. And I got a position and I got a house, and Abraham's still out there wandering around that tent he got out there, you know. And look at me out here. Hey, man. I'm the guy in town. I got a place. So they went to him. See, he knew how evil this place was. He knew it. He knew how evil it was. He's hanging around. He has chosen this. This isn't something God sent him there. This is something he chose. Let me just say that I've watched people do this over the years of Christianity. They're gonna get, yeah, if I go over there and get involved with them, I'll tell you I can really do good. And after a while you found out, time passes on, a year or two, they're all messed up. They decide who they're going to minister to and who they can reach and who they can. I'm going to tell you, you better make sure God sends you to who you can reach. I had a guy that I knew real well. At that time, he was older than me, but he a really good Christian man. And saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. And he was in this denominational church, and it was very denominational church, one of those jobs, you know, that they're just fun. And, you know, well, I think God put me here to, you know, to change. They're going to change him. And I thought, and I knew. I never said nothing to him, but I knew because I know he ain't listening to God. You ain't there to change. They're going to keep you from going further. They're going to keep you. And he did. He died before his time and everything else. He stayed there. See, I watch people do that. And it's always just pray for me. I'm sorry. If you're going to stay where you're at, there ain't no point praying for you. You're going to keep doing what you're doing. What's the point? It was like the Lord told me, don't go to pray for that person. They know what to do and they won't do it. So praying for them about things don't change nothing. This is why, be led by the Holy Spirit. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Quit following your intuitions and follow what's in your heart and the Holy Ghost is telling you to do. You might see something and they need help. Well, are you called to help it? Are you the one? Because you can get mixed up things that you can do. You know, I used to, with Ted Williams, who was a pastor at Teen Challenge, well, I'd do street witness him. And we, like, Ted just walk in the bar, and I'd go in the bar with him. He'd sit down, we'd witness the people in the bar. But we didn't hang out with the people in the bar. We'd go in and witness to them, and we'd leave. We didn't go hang out and become friends with them. If you want Jesus, number one, if they wanted Jesus, well, then let's leave the bar. If you don't want to leave the bar, you didn't want Jesus.
Come on.
Let's get real.
Amen.
So I don't go hanging out in bars, calling it a ministry, when I'm just hanging out with the people. Mm-hmm. Oh, they really respect me here. Yeah, because you go along with their sin.
Amen. Come on.
Yeah, this is good. Good preaching.
Amen. Great preaching.
It's not what we do. We're not hanging out with them. Be sorry. See, I always want people to know what I am. This is one of the things I always get around groups, especially I like to get around groups and some of the Christian. I never tell them I'm a pastor. I always told them. I don't tell them. They don't know me. And then I wait to let things go on. Then I announce. Oh, my God. Everything gets real quiet. Yeah. Somebody will say, what do? I pastor a church. Praise God. I know Jesus. And you watch the Christians all of a sudden. They're figuring out ways to talk now that sound different. Yes. Oh, well. All of a sudden, there's a lot of stuff they want to change. See, it's all fake.
Come on.
It's not what they are. They learn how to put on acts. They're actors. They're called hypocrites. A hypocrite was really an actor. That's what an actor is, a hypocrite. somebody that acts like something they're not. And there's a lot of people call themselves, they know how to act being a Christian, but they really know how to live like a sinner. They don't act living like a sinner. They know how to do it. They're good at it. You know, it was like Mike talks about, you know, people said they're Christians down there where they have their coffee shop there. And yet people come in and, like he said, they're Christian. But they won't say a thing to those other people. Wow, the sinner dominates and rules. The sinner rules. They don't want to seem to be odd out of the bunch. I like being odd out of the bunch. Hallelujah. Because I want to be like Jesus. He's odd out of the bunch. I mean, it's just, hallelujah, paid off. It works. They might think we're weird. It's all right. They can think I'm weird. I'm not against them. I want people to get saved. Amen. But I tell you what, I have the hardest time putting up with the fake Christians.
Come on.
I have the hardest time putting them.
Come on.
Well, too many Christians are totally comfortable
Amen.
Around the fake Christians. They're just comfortable around them. I'm not.
Amen.
I have more respect for a sinner who don't try to fake it than any Christian who's always a fake.
Come on, preach.
I have much more respect. And so, walking in a lot of that, people, there's some people, you know, they're just baby Christians. They don't know. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you, there's people been around too long and they know. And they just don't walk right and they don't live right. Well, God loves me. Yeah. Yeah, He does. And you keep going like you do, it may not end up well for you in life, like you thought. Mm-hmm. This is why many people, they come to the end of the road, they suffer a lot. You need to know this. You may get away with things for a long, long time. But that's why a lot of Christians suffer a lot in the end of their life. Things don't go good. I know, get quiet, don't it? I just tell you. The word don't change as I get old.
Amen.
See, everybody just said, well, we're getting older, expect this, you're not getting around. I had one brother, he said, I guess getting old. He said, man, this is something else. And I'm thinking, you know, he's got 4 years on me, but he only got 4 years on me. But I'm going to tell you, there's an enormous difference between where we are health-wise and everything else. It's an enormous difference. And I but see, you listen to them talk, and they're down the road. It's like, well, and as you know, one is a Christian, and but you go along, and the way they talk, see, the word, as we get older, now the stuff don't count, and this and that and the other thing. Their importance in life and what they do, their, you know, they aren't into it. Christians that ain't into it as much. See, when I get older, we don't just retire and quit working. We retire from God too, you know. We don't spend near as much time. People retire and are so busy and they can't spend more time with God than they did before they were retired. They're in sin.
Come on.
I'm just putting it plain. How could you not spend more time with God and you're so busy now? If you're so busy now, it's because you're busy full of busy of the world and the ideas of the thinking of the world, Amen. And you can't spend more time with God? Ought to be easy to spend more time with God.
Amen.
What's important? You'll always find there's going to be health problems. Things are going to come. The devil's going to do it. He's going to. See, there's expectations. I know I get over this and sound like meddling. But I'm going to tell you what. I've lived a few years in this earth. I've watched.
Amen.
See, I'm a watcher.
Amen.
You can sit around and say what you want. I watch. I'll tell you. I look at outcomes. I don't care all that in between. Outcome. I want to know the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we're going on in Genesis again. We go to 4. Now listen to this. In Genesis 19, 4 and the 4th verse says, now, before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, and both old and young, all the people from every quarter surrounded the house. They called to Lot and said to him, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them carnally. Now, it uses the word carnally in the New King James. It's an added word. But to know them, they're talking here. And in fact, you'll find there's newer translation. It's the whole point of it is they want to have sex with these men. This is what they want. Say, well, should we talk about this kind of stuff? If the Bible talks about it, we better start talking about it and talking about it to our kids.
Amen.
If the Bible says it and you're not, you're in disobedience. Don't tell me you believe the word.
Come on.
Amen. We need to talk this stuff. We need to put it right out there. The Bible does.
Amen.
The Bible talks in the New Testament about the Sodom, and it tells God told cities in Israel they're going to be judged harder than Sodom because they wouldn't listen to Jesus. We're in trouble in America, folks. And we're in trouble because the church is full of trouble.
Amen.
Quit blaming the government. The church is so weak in its belief and its thinking and scared to say anything. You know? We got to support all these people and let them carry their flags and do their stuff and help them. We got to do all this stuff, you know. Oh, you ain't loving. I do love because I hate that stuff.
Come on, man.
So I got the right love.
Amen.
There's very, very little Christian love out here. It's worldly love.
Preach.
And the love of the world. No, I'm going to love what God loves.
Amen.
What's his name? Had that song. Love God, hate sin? No.
Yeah.
Love God, hate sin? No. Today it's love God, love sin. Anyhow. Hallelujah. It says, so Lot went out to them through the doorway, shut the door behind him and said, now listen to this. Please, my brothers. He called them suckers his brothers? Hey, my brothers. Say, you put your hands on, what are you doing? It's good preaching. My brethren. Do not do so wickedly. Don't do this. So he knows what they do is wicked. He moved into a town knowing what they do is wicked. Everybody comes out to go and do something wicked. You know, he's the only righteous guy in town. He's the only righteous man in town. Now think of it. One righteous, and he's the only one. You think he don't know it?
Yeah.
He knows it. He got himself in trouble. He's a believer of his time is what he knows about God. He believes. But yet he's walking against it. He's over here. Why? Position, place, all this kind of things. Well, I don't want to get there. I don't want to be at that spot. Please, my brother, do not do this wickedly. See now, listen to this. I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please let me bring them to you, and you may do to them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof. Boy, how about you ladies? You won't be his daughter. Woo! You talk about a guy get messed up. I mean, I don't care if they'd kill me. I'd have killed any sucker that wanted my daughter. That would have been the end of it.
Say
so the rest of them would have killed me, but I'll tell you, it's a few going along with him. No, this guy, dude, hey, brothers, take my daughters. Take my virgin daughters and have a great time tonight. Let the guys alone. I'd have chucked that sucker out the door. I definitely want an angel. Hallelujah. Well, he goes on. Verse 9, it said, and they said, stand back. Then they said, this one came in to stay here, and he keeps acting as a judge. Now, he said, we will deal worse with you than with them. So they pressed hard against the man Lot and came near to break down the door. Now, they said, we're going to do worse to you. They knew they were doing evil. You need to understand, don't you ever think that all these people... Go read Romans, the first chapter, what it says. Does the homosexual know that he's doing wrong? I believe the Bible. I don't believe what other preachers say. I don't believe what other Christians say. I don't believe it. The Bible says they do.
Amen.
Right here, they know it's because we're going to do worse to you. In other words, we're doing something bad. We're going to do something worse to you. They know it's bad. They know it's not good.
Amen.
Don't think the devil's people don't know that they're following wrong stuff.
Come on.
I never thought I was doing good.
Amen.
And if you did, you were a sick puppy.
Amen. Amen.
I got saved because I knew I was a sick puppy. Hallelujah. Well, it says, but the men reached out their hands and pulled Lot into the house with them and shut the door. And they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they became weary trying to find the door. So they have to turn around and get these in. Now we want to go on to look at this. This is absolutely incredible. This is how perversion and far this thing goes. He said, I have these two virgin daughters, but we find out he has his daughters betrothed to be married to men in this city. Now, because he calls them son-in-laws, we want to see this. And verse 12 says, then the men said to Lot, have you anyone else here? So son-in-laws, your sons, your daughters, and whoever you have in this city, take them out of this place. For we will destroy this place because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Says, so Lot went out and spoke to his son-in-law. Now they come, he says, who had married his daughters and said, let us go out of this place for the Lord will destroy this city. But to his son-in-laws, he seemed to be joking. Now they're called son-in-law. In the Bible, when somebody was betrothed to someone, we would call engagement. You were considered, from the standpoint, you were married. The actual marriage ceremony was not a ceremony where your preacher read and did a pronouncement thing. The marriage took place when you had sex. That was the union. See, we don't do that today. Sex is when you actually had the union. And the Bible teaches, it's the New Testament, if you have sex with somebody outside of marriage, you married them. That's New Testament. The church ought to read the Bible sometime. Marriage is the union of sex. That's what marriage is. When you had sex, then you're married. Even our own laws do this. If somebody comes together and a partner won't have sex, the marriage can be annulled. Isn't the marriage annulled? But see, we need to understand this is Bible's idea, man's idea. But when they got, just like with Mary, she was betrothed to Joseph, hadn't come together, but he had to put her away. He was going to put her away. Wasn't going to join. Why? Was that betrothal? That's like you're going to do it. It's like today people get engaged and let's quit. Let's go find somebody to get engaged. Let's quit again. Let's go down the line. And let's jump in the bed a while. And I didn't really care for that. Let's have another one. That's the world. Right? I was in the world, man. You know. You know, the world's idea is, you go try it out, see if you like it.
Come on.
That's the church. They do that with Jesus. Let's try it out and see if we like it. Well, let's go to go play in the world some more, a little more fun over here. Let's go over and do some more of that. I like this out of here. It's having a union. But he goes to them. So he goes out to find these guys. He goes out to find them and, it's just magic. He's willing to throw his daughter. He's going to give his daughter to heathens in this city. Well, number one, they don't have anything to follow practice. He ain't following God. He isn't worshiping God and following God. They have no pattern. Well, however they follow that. So, his daughters ain't around this stuff, and what are they going to do? They ended up like mom and dad. Believe me, I worked in prison. And when they come visiting day, and every time they come visiting day, and I always say this, the wrong people are in jail. These kids end up like they are because of them heathen parents. Don't draw no lines. They're making sure they're going to church. They aren't making sure they aren't calling them out on stuff. They don't do nothing. And it ends up this way, and we don't know what happened. I know what happened. See, you follow God and you walk close for the next generation. Preach. It's not to please the next generation.
Preach.
It's to please God. God should be first, not your children.
Amen.
God.
Say that again.
Never your children are first.
Amen.
God. God said it. Don't care what the kids want, what they think.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm going to stand before God one day, not my kids.
Yes,
come on. Preach.
An eternity counts. Not my kids.
Amen.
You know, we need to get down to this. There'd be a lot less trouble going on. There would be a real clarity today of who's a saint and who ain't.
Come on.
We have to try to figure it out.
Amen.
You know, when I was a kid, they didn't have to figure out who, they knew who the heathens were and who the saints were. Today, it's all this light gray line. It ain't any dark gray in it even. It's all light gray. We don't know. Everybody, well, they're a Christian. Yeah, prove it.
Come on.
Say, I hear wind blowing. You can't prove me by saying it. You might be a Christian. But until I see it, I ain't calling you one.
Come on.
Until you act like a Christian, I ain't fellowshipping with you.
Come on.
You know, live like hell. Nobody in the family gets any different. You call yourself a Christian, the Bible tells me when a person calls himself a Christian, if they live certain types of life, you're not supposed to as much as eat with them. And don't say, well, if it's your kid, go ahead.
Come on. There are no exceptions. Amen.
That's right. There's a demand I always had with our children. We had a demand. And you want to have that. You have that demand. Why? Our kids grew up, but they weren't under bondage. They lived good lives. Had good stuff.
Amen.
And let get up all messed up. And this is what you want to do. See, these are lessons that we learn from this stuff. We sit down and look at this stuff. Doesn't sound good. It's not. See, we're taking communion this morning. Are we really in fellowship with Jesus?
Come on.
See, fellowship is not just being born again. You can be born again and never really spend any time in fellowship with Jesus.
Amen.
That's what it says, as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons.
Amen.
People just got saved and are just playing this game along and going out around here. They're not being led by the Spirit. They'll never live like a son and they will never have the blessing of a son. They will not walk in the glory that is for the rest of Christians. They won't have it. They won't have it. Quit trying to get it for them and doing everything else. It ain't going to happen. They come to a place in life, you let them reap what they sow.
Come on.
No matter how it is, let them have it.
Amen.
This is what you wanted? Let them suffer a while.
Mm-hmm.
Until they come and repent and say, yes, I did evil. Instead of coming, well, this person, and because of this.
Come on.
Wanda and I went through a thing with some people. They were in a large church in a children's ministry, and they had a downright heathen son they let live at home. Heathen is a day is long. Kicked out a Christian school and then two other schools and stuff. And they turn around and go, and every time they come, they talked about, well, you know, he's got to run his pill, and these kids did this, or they did that. No, he was the ringleader heathen. And he lived with two parents who were in children's ministry that I'm going to tell you what, the Bible tells you that if you can't take, you shouldn't even be in ministry if you can't take, keep your own kids straight.
Come on.
See, that's why I couldn't have my kids living like hell at home. I could not have that.
Amen.
You don't belong in the ministry if you can't keep your kids straight.
Amen.
You don't belong in the ministry. Bible says so. This isn't Ed's idea.
Amen.
Why? Because I watch people in the ministry. I watch it. People watch and say, you know, their kids are like hell. They're demanding of us. And I'll tell you what happens is nobody's living right. Because the preacher's a fake. This stuff don't work in his family.
Come on.
It worked in our family. Our kids grew up. I didn't expect. No, I was in a church. The preacher, he complained about other people's kids. His one son was the worst of us. In fact, I had to go tell him. We were leading the youth ministry, and I went and told him, we're kicking your son out. And his wife cried. She was 90% of why he was a heathen, it was. Because she was a heathen. Would not do what's right. Self-centered, selfish woman. That's what she was. Manipulator, behind gossiping, behind the backs of people all the time and doing stuff going on. Go from one person to the next. Say, this person is this person. She'd do this kind of stuff. Full of the Holy Ghost. You know what's really crazy about all this? She died, go to heaven. You know, you get to heaven. It's amazing. This is why I tell people, you don't understand the mercy of God and how merciful He is.
Amen.
Heaven's full of morons. They're absolute morons that got there. And they only got there. It is called mercy. And it's called loving kindness. Ain't nothing else in it. The person never did a good thing to get there. I didn't get saved by doing a good thing. I really did believe my heart got saved. But I thought, you know, people can go on, and you need to know about yourself. That's why you keep yourself sharp all the time. You get around wrong stuff, you yield to it. If you don't, you got to keep yourself. Why? It's just the way it is. You're in a world. You know, you can't walk out around this world. You know, you can't walk down here along the road without getting your shoes dirty. So, you know, do you ever clean your shoes? Well, then you're going to need some cleaning up every once in a while. You're going to get some... See, mm-hmm. Communion, we can be a reminder here of cleaning up. You need to stop and say, hey, am I walking where I am? You know, am I really treating Jesus like He's Lord? Am I really doing this? Well, these are not bad things. These are good things. Examine ourselves. Mm-hmm. Well, see, we shouldn't have to be told all the time, do this. This should be the normal Christian life.
Amen.
This should just be the normal thing. You know, I want to do what's right.
Amen.
I want to walk in the blood. I want to please my Lord.
Amen.
I want to please Him. See, I can like you, but I got to please Him.
Amen.
I have to. That's what makes Him Lord. If you're not looking to please Him and you're pleasing others, He's not Lord.
Amen.
It's a simple thing. It's not rocket science. We don't have to figure out whoever I'm trying to please.
Amen.
See, I learned, you know, sometimes I remember the Lord told me one time concerning, He told me to do a certain thing, and I said, boy, I don't know if Wanda's going to like that. And He was very blunt with me.
Uh-huh.
He said, you're going to listen to her or me. He said,
uh-huh.
What if she don't like it? He said, you're going to follow her?
Uh-huh.
Ooh, I had to swallow my pride. No, I'm going to do what you say. I'm going to do what you say.
Amen.
I found this out. Most people will compromise to keep any kind of discontent or anything. And they will compromise. Most will. Most will. Well, you know, we'll have trouble if this don't happen. Now I want to see, we want to look at something that happens here. Lot got so bad, he had to be dragged out of the town that's going to be destroyed. He did not leave by his own initiative. He is so messed up. You can get so messed up, you won't, even though you know what's right to do, you can't get pulled out of danger.
Come on.
You'll have to be, you own your own initiative. I watch people die. I've sat and talked to them, and they've agreed with me about, they know the situation, they need to change. Oh, and they talk about change, they never change it. And they die.
Amen.
See, you can get over there and the things get so messed up. Because listen to this story. Verse 15. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, arise, take your wife and your two daughters with you who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city. They're trying to get this guy to go. And then he goes, and while he lingered, he'd tell him, it's going to be destroyed, stupid. And he says, the men took hold of his hands, his wife's hands, and the hands of his daughters, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. In other words, God ordered the angels to drag him out. God had to order the angels to drag him out or they'd have died there. They weren't going to leave in their own initiative. Those stupid people were going to die. Righteous people were going to die. It's happening today. Righteous people are died, but I don't think God sends as many angels to drag them out anymore. Because they don't have enough people to know how to stand up for them anyhow. Because too many of their friends, Christians, are just like they are.
Come on.
And there ain't nobody to make a negotiation with God about nothing.
Come on.
It's good preaching, folks.
Amen.
You can understand why some things happen the way they do. God in His mercy had the angels go get these guys and drag them out. And you know why He did it? Not for them. He did it for Abraham. Don't you think He did? I'm going to tell you what. Sometimes we got blessed and it wasn't because of your faith. We got blessed because somebody else walked right.
Come on.
I got blessed because my dad walked right. God told me. My father, before me. I was spared because my father was right. Too many Christians today walk around and think something about themselves and patting themselves on the back and don't even know. They ain't getting no reward for what they think they're getting reward for. Somebody else. Mm-hmm. Somebody else stood up.
Amen.
Thank God for the ones that stood up. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm always grateful. I might talk, you know, about different people teaching. God, thank God for somebody else stood up, took us by the hand and drug us out. Hallelujah. Thank God. Somebody came on. Somebody obeyed and we got there. We have this too much me junk today. Hallelujah. Thank God the people, this is why I want to be a person who walks before, that people get something down the road.
Amen.
Because of where I walked.
Amen.
Not, no, they end up worse because of where I walked. This is how America got like it did, because the church has done nothing but walk in the dirt.
Amen.
And the people come along and followed in the dirt. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm sure glad my parents didn't listen to me. Well, we go on here. I'm not going to read down the rest. You can read the rest of the chapter. It's too sad. It's a sad chapter. It's a finished reading. But we find out he goes outside the city. They tell him to go to the mountains. Go to the mountains. Get out of here. Just go to the mountains. And you know, you get there. Why? When they get there, here goes Lot. We can't make it there. Like a dumb angel, the ones that are sent to our wouldn't know that he couldn't make it to the mountains. Do you know what happened to that stupid man? He ended up going to the mountains. He said, no, let's send me over to Zoar. Do you know Zoar was supposed to be destroyed? It was another pagan place. He spared it. He asked to go to Zoar because the angels were commanded to save him. They let him get away with it. So he gets to Zoar. He's afraid to stay there. He's afraid of people. Why would he ask? See, he ain't got no brains in his head. He ain't got nothing. He picked a place he's scared to be. And ends up going up in a mountain in a cave. When they get to Zoar, see, people have him marching out of the city and his wife looking back. His wife looked back after they got to Zoar, the Bible says. She was in the town and wanted to go. She went out to walk. Why? I wonder if our house went under. I had some really nice furniture. I just, you know. Now, people say, do you wonder this is true? The Sodom and Gomorrah and all this kind of stuff that happened is true? Jesus verified it. Jesus said it was true. Jesus used it and mentioned Sodom and Gomorrah a number of times. And it's also mentioned other places in the Bible. We read about it. It's confirmed by Jesus Christ himself. So somebody comes along, some stupid Christian archaeologist or anybody else comes along and says, well, you know, we don't know this. Well, there's one of them carnal Christians. That's one of those bunches. That's one of those people. They're hooked up in the world. I'm on. Jesus said it was true. It's true. Let's just leave it at that. People try to figure out, how'd she turn into a pillar of salt? I don't know. I don't care. The Bible says. I don't have to figure it out. The Bible says, done figured out for Ed. Said it happened, it happened. That's it. If you need an explanation, it's because you're in unbelief. That's why. Let's be honest about it. You just don't believe what the Bible says. And if you don't believe that, if that one's wrong, well, what else is wrong and wasn't said right? By his stripes you were healed? Could have been wrong, right? You weren't. The lady, salt lady, ain't right, so hey, how about this one? That's why there's so much unbelief in the church. We think we get to pick and choose.
Come on.
If the Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it.
Amen.
You know, the Bible says when God created us, you know, Jesus made mention about creation being right. And, you know, the sun and moon, they weren't created. They weren't standing there. They say, well, how old they are. I'm sorry, the Bible doesn't say that. Man, say what you want. Couldn't God do something? Man's way to figure out age and stuff is smarter than God? God says when the sun and moon were created. And it wasn't in the sky before the creation. He said so, wasn't it? See, we bought a lot of things, people have said. A lot of the church believes it, a lot of the things that the Bible don't say. A lot of it. A lot of books written by Spirit-filled Christians that are really different than what the Bible says. And they go through their explanation and they always go to science.
Yep.
Surely the Bible's wrong. We need to be careful about this. Well, he went there to Zoar. He was scared. He couldn't stay there. So they went up the mountain in a cave. He's got his family so messed up, his daughters end up having sex with him to produce kids. Well, we got to keep this thing going. Like tomorrow it's all going to be over and stuff. They're so messed up. This thing has gotten so messed up and so bad. Why? This is a righteous man. Here's a man who actually did believe right. But he got so messed up, he can't even think right anymore. Don't believe that can happen to you. The devil, you know, this is one about sin. I always think about Dr. Roy Hicks used to always use the fact. He used to say, sin will take you further than when you want to go and keep you longer than what you wanted to stay. Lot is an excellent picture of that. And his last, he'd always say, and it was going to cost you more than you wanted to pay.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's it. Lot, look at this, ends up, his offspring after him. Why, after mess up, wouldn't it be logical? Wouldn't you just go pick up and go to, let's go up to Abraham. Let's go up to my uncle's place. I messed up, let's go. You think Abraham wouldn't have taken him in? Abraham's pleading the guy's case before God to try to save the moron's life. But you know what? Sin makes you, after you do it and follow it, love doing it and follow it, the devil will make you feel so shameful, you'll run and hide. You'll hide from God and anybody that can help you. That's what sin does. Sin is a terrible, the devil is never good. He will never do something for you that's helpful. It's always to destroy you. Always. Sin will never take you to a better spot. There's a payment that goes down the line. You think, to me it was always, why wouldn't he said, girls, let's go pick up and go visit Abraham. We things are so messed up, we need to get straightened out. You know, he leaves, where's all these guys, these sheep herders he had? Nobody's around, everything's gone, no sheep, no. He got nothing. This is what it ends up. It ends up his wife's dead. His kids he got from his daughters. Man, we got a great start here on life on this thing. This thing's looking good. This is a righteous man. Scripture says so. See, don't think you as a Christian. This is why so many Christians are messed up. Because the church don't even know what a Christian is. People get to be Christians. Oh, and they die and go to heaven. Looks like Jesse Duplantis when he got caught up to heaven and the guy got there and said, oh my God, I made it. He didn't expect to be there. You know, he's born again, but he got so living out of his mind, he's living in his mind. He ain't even in contact with his heart. His heart's a place of faith. If you have faith problems, it's because you can't get in contact with your heart. That's what's wrong. You keep playing out of your mind. And you are out of your mind when you do that. You're out of your mind. Faith of the heart. Your faith, your heart can be completely right about something, and you can be 100% wrong in your head. You follow your head, and you're 100% wrong. And the whole time, your heart knows the right thing and wants to do the right thing. The whole time. This is why you can't keep it clear. The Word of God is the sword that divides soul and spirit. If the flesh dominates, you ain't got no sword. Because you're not in the Word. The Word can't divide. You can't tell what's going on in here or up here. You can't divide the two of them. You can't get there. See, communion is about fellowship. Why? People who fellowship with God, they don't have all this trouble.
None.
They don't get into all this messed up. They don't get into all this crazy. And they don't get overthinking, you know, wow, you know, man, you know, I want to stay in the town. It sure is a nice house. I know it's going to blow up in 10 seconds, but I want to stay. When you're thinking like that, and you're a Christian, it is a good sign you have no clue about Christian. Your mind is filled with the world, filled with the ideas. The devil's dominating and ruling. and what it led to. And so communion is to remind us, we're in fellowship, puts us back over to the place. It's a focus on Jesus. What? Remember me, you know, hey, you remember me till I get back. Do you know how many Christians ain't remembering Him? They never go to church. They don't take communion. They don't do nothing to remember Him. The only thing they remember Him is if something goes wrong, tell somebody that knows God to pray for me. That's what they do. That's why they have all these prayer chains most of the time. Is to get these people that ain't walking with God to get somebody to pray for.
Come on.
See, they should be in use for young Christians who don't know how to pray themselves. They should be for people who don't know how.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not. It's used by all these people that are living in the flesh all the time.
Amen.
Trying to get somebody else to pray for them. And believe me, in some of these prayer chains, years ago, I was out, this is back in 1983, I was at Kenneth Hagin Camp Meeting. Sitting in Kenneth Hagin Camp Meeting, and sitting beside me, there was a friend of mine and I were there, sitting beside us, there was a man, a woman or her son. And it turns out, she was the head of the prayer ministry for this major Christian Christian network. It was a Christian network. She was the head of their prayer teams, of their people calling in and stuff. That woman, I tell you what, if I wouldn't have known, I would never thought she's even Christian. She was nutty as a fruitcake. Well, I shouldn't talk about a fruitcake like that. The fruitcake probably didn't have as many nuts as she's at. She's saying stuff and doing stuff, and her husband and her at war, they've got all this stuff and this thing. She's praying for people, and she can't, her life, my God. It would probably took 400 people to fast and pray just to try to get some of the things fixed in her. I mean, messed up is crazy. And I'm sitting there listening to this. Now, believe it, I'm only 3 years old as a Christian. And I'm like, what is she doing at this camp meeting? She's been a Christian for years, nutty as crazy. She said, all the time she thinks somehow she's in the flow of this thing. She ain't sitting in this building. She's in the flow of nothing. Why? She's out of, in her mind thinking everything from her mental standpoint, and she has herself believing she's all right. And I'm like, oh my God. You know? And she's asking me questions, and I'm thinking, my God. And I thought, this is dangerous. I knew more than she did, and I didn't think I knew hardly anything. I'm there. I mean, I'm definitely here to learn. And this lady, I mean, I'm going to tell you what, she's like a kid, like, let's try to learn the ABCs. What do you think? A, B, C, D. That's where she was. And she's the head of a prayer ministry. And this big network, they get on, how many people on there, her just doing all this stuff, and everybody, oh, yeah, Jesus is in this. Woo. People wouldn't know Jesus was in, you know. Like, you know, Brother Hagin used to say, they wouldn't know the Holy Ghost if He came down with a red hat and a purple cape, and they wouldn't know Him. See, knowing God. Communion is to remind us, and today we're going to tell you, I just want to think about this. This reminds you a day of fellowship. It's not, Chris, God put that, why would God do this? What would He have done this for? It is a reminder of fellowship. Why? It's easy to get away from it. The devil can easily make us in life, put things in our way that we forget how good. See, I've just been in this thing, and I've said this morning, just being thankful toward, reminding myself to be thankful toward God. Because you get over and do so. God's good to me, and I started realizing, there's a lot of things I just take for granted, how good He is. The things He does, and so I got to remind myself, always be thankful.
Amen.
Every night I go to bed, I don't pray now, I lay me down to sleep. I spend a lot of time just thanking God, He is so good. Just appreciate, oh, you're just so wonderful, you're just so good. I just want to thank you. You put up with me, you're incredible. They're so, oh, wow, you're outrageously good. Hallelujah, you're like me. Dear Lord, this is something else. I don't like me, but He does. But see, we get over and we become these ungrateful, unthankful. You know, God throws a switch, everything ends. You don't exist because you're wonderful, you're something, you're not. He causes man to exist.
Amen.
And see, when we realize this, we don't treat Him like He's creator. We don't create. And we have to. And see, this is to remind us. He gave us these things. What Jesus did. We're going to go in this morning, and I just want you to think about this as we take the communion. And, you know, we're singing about the blood. And they, all the songs, they sing about the blood cleansing. But you know what? That is for the Christian. That's not for the sinner. The blood don't cleanse the sinner. The sinner gets born again. He don't get washed up. I didn't get washed up. I got a brand new spirit. Cleansing is when I confess my sin. That's when the blood of Jesus cleanses me from all unrighteousness. The washing, and see, when's the last time you took a bath? A spiritual bath. When's the last time you admitted the sin? What's it? Hey, and that's where this, the confession there, the word confession there, actually used in its vernacular of how it's in the actual Greek, it means to admit. You admit what you did wrong. Do you admit what you did? You know, you might do wrong, other people don't see, but you admit it to God. You know what? It's not cleansed unless it's admitted. You say, God, I did that wrong. This is what I did. You tell Him what you did wrong? You say, well, I messed up. Do you tell Him what you did messing up? Do you admit it? See, you can't admit, like, and I'm sure all of you heard this, I've talked about this before. You know, these people say, well, I always confess the sins that I don't know that I did, you know, that I, because we just sin every day. How can you confess to what you didn't know you did? You see, we have messed all this stuff up and jumbled it up and made it into religious garbage. And what happens? People don't get free. This is why Satan so picks on people and keeps them over demoralized so much of the time. Because of religious ways of thinking about things. He keeps you feeling guilty when you've done been cleaned up. He makes you feel bad because, well, I got this and that. And you go on to this thing. And religion always puts 27 roadblocks in the way. And hurdles that the people that made them couldn't jump, but they tell you to. Because if they get you to, it makes them feel like they're really something. I got you to do it. No. I think it's the most wonderful thing. All I have to do is admit I did wrong. Amen. And He'll cleanse me. I don't have to go through no rituals. I don't have to say 10 Hail Marys. I don't have to, you know. We can leave the Hail Mary thing to football. You know, we don't have to kick it over into the church. That's just... We don't have to do none of that stuff. He said, you just admit you did wrong. It is, but see, the church has made even that a ritual. It's not a ritual. You just admit what you did. You didn't have to, you know, it didn't even tell you to ask it and forgive you. It said, just admit you did it. No, we added to it, made it a nice, then ask Him, well, I thought if I admitted it, He would forgive me. Well, if I have to ask Him to forgive me, then it wasn't done when I admitted it. See, we add to the Scripture, turn it into a perverted religious thing, and wonder why people can't get free. God doesn't honor my word unless it's His. Amen. Amen. He said it. If you missed it, just admit you missed it. It's taken care of. Woo-hoo! I don't have to do nothing else. It's so simple. See, when we approach, this is about fellowship coming. When I was in church as a kid, they say, well, you don't take communion unless everything's right. I'm a big believer, take communion and make things right. I have to be perfect to do it. No, this is a reminder because this gets us back over into things. Oh, okay, I'm reminded about Him. I want to get things right. I want fellowship. This is about communion. The word communion is translated out through the rest of the New Testament fellowship. This is about fellowshipping. What we're doing, what? We're fellowshipping with His body, what He did for us in the body. Do you have fellowship with what He did? See, you can fellowship with Jesus and not have any faith in what He did. Most of the church don't. Most of the church has no faith in what He did with His body. All they know is He forgave us our sin. He took our sin on the cross. He took my sickness, my disease. He took the curse. Do I have fellowship with that? Do I really believe that that was taken? Or am I trying to get Him? Am I asking Him to heal me? No, I'm going to fellowship with the fact that He did. See, this is the fellowship. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for healing me.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus, for taking the curse. See, this is treating Him like what He is and what He's done. See, when we take the blood, This is what he's done. I'm not trying to get him to do it. I've often thought about this. Think about it. Everybody who's in hell today, Jesus shed his blood for. Think about that. People say, well, you need to get saved, ask Jesus to forgive you. Does the scripture tell you that to get saved? No. But that's the number one thing they tell you to do. Why? That's not fellowship with Jesus. We're treating him like he didn't do it. That's like coming here. I went and did my job and my boss comes and yells at me like I didn't do my job. Now, what would you think? We're going to have great fellowship together, him and I, aren't we? People don't even fellowship with Jesus and act like they do. I fellowship with him because he did it and I get to have it. Hallelujah. Yeah. Treat him like he's glorious. And this is what, come to us today. See, when you come and you understand the blood, if I need clean, man, wow, I fellowship. You know, if I confess it, he washes it away. The blood just, this blood just to kept on a working. Hallelujah. This blood's a working great. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The power of the blood is working. See, you're not covered with the blood. You know, people say, yeah, we have a covering of the blood. I don't have a covering of the blood. I don't need coverment. I can fellowship with God. He ain't got to look at me through blood. I've had people say that, you know, God got to look at you through the blood. I thought, how stupid. Where does it say that in Scripture? No, we put it in songs and sang it, and we thought it was Scripture. Because they sang songs with it in. Come today and fellowship with him.
Amen.
Come today and fellowship with what he did. Quit trying to get... You've already been blessed with every spiritual blessing.
Amen.
Come and fellowship with him like he did it. You're not trying to get... If you've missed it, admit it. It's a good day to admit it. Say, Lord, Lord, I've missed it over in this area. I've done... Yeah, I've missed it. And he said, I just cleansed you from all unrighteousness. No, you and I are great standing. We're really doing good here together. You ain't righteous by name. You're righteous by deed. You're doing right. See, it's good to be righteous by faith, but it's better to be righteous by faith and deed. Lot only had faith, but he kept reaping his actions. Hallelujah. Let's not do that. If your actions were wrong, say, yeah, Lord, I missed it. Hey, yeah, I blew that one. And God is a wonderful forgetter. He is amazing. How he does that, I don't know. But he can sure quick remembering things.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And he will never bring them up to you again. If a voice or anything brings up to you about what you put under the blood, I'm going to tell you, it's either the devil or a lying Christian. If you gave it to God and you put it under, God forgave it. No use dragging it out in the dirt. No use dragging it out in the dirt. God forgives you. It is. Understand this. If you do things and break the law has a requirement by God to punish you for it. They can. And they have a right to do that. They can do that. You break laws and rules, you can get punished. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you what, God, you can turn around and confess your sin, and he removes it, and you can walk in perfect fellowship with him. Isn't that wonderful? See, we never have to have broken fellowship with God. Never do. And I'm glad he gave us a communion table. One of the great faults of church, a lot of the church world, you wouldn't believe how they only once a year remind themselves of this. Once a year. I had a guy tell me this one time who was working in a youth ministry. He said, oh, we only do it in our church once a year. You don't want to do it too often. It makes it common. Oh, I said, yeah, fellowship in Jesus is a thing. I don't want to, you know, make anything. I don't want that to be a common thing. No. That's what I said to him. I said, I don't want that to be a common thing. And he just looked at me real dumb, and I thought, he's carnal. Hallelujah. So let's stand to our feet. We're going to pray before we go here. Hallelujah. And we'll have our community together. Father, I just want to say thank you this morning. Lord God, as we look at these things, Father, you put these in the Word, and Lord God, we ain't going to throw rocks at Lot. Lord God, what a shame and terrible, terrible thing that happened. Lord, we have it Scripture, and if it's in the Scripture, then it really did happen. And Lord, you put those things there, and Lord, it's a warning to us, and we take it, Lord God. As I said, it's a warning to us not to get off base, not to wander off into things. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord God, that you put this reminder for us today as we take this communion, is wonderful fellowship with you. Because that's what we want. Hallelujah. We're going to spend eternity with you.
Amen.
And so, Lord, we want to get to know you pretty good before we get there.
Yes, sir.
We don't want to be this just a sad thing down here. Because, Lord, you are just so good and so wonderful and kind.
Amen.
And, Lord God, in this world, the way things are going and the track that it's set in, and we see in Jesus himself talked the way things are going to be get down here. Lord, we need somebody that we can fellowship with and we can really trust.
Amen.
And you're the one. You're the one. And we want to down here. I just want to thank you that we can trust you in this fellowship to walk with, to really have a friend here. A friend would never do us wrong. A friend that's better than we are. That really loves us and is really concerned about us. And I just want to say thank you. As we take these elements, we do it in great honor and respect of a wonderful Savior and Lord who deserves to be glorified, to have all honor and praise given to Him for what He has accomplished for us. And Father, we thank you for it all in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Us of a deepness of a fellowship and relationship that you can't have. You know, in the natural, no much how we love somebody, they can't live in you. They can't know everything about you. Nobody knows everything about you. This one it is, there's a deepness of fellowship that we can have with God that is different from any other human. There's one thing, see, as I know, I could never lie to God because I know He knows. There's things that about your personal thoughts and things that He knows, and He knows about you. And we need to know this as we take this. As I always say, you know, when we eat this, we become one with this. We become one with His body. In other words, what He did in His body, it's as if you and I did it. We're one with it. It's just as if you died and gave your sin. You died. You're identified in Christ. And I want you to think about that today. You're identified with Christ. When we take this, you're identified that Himself took your infirmities and bore your sickness. You're identified with the fact that by His stripes you are healed. And it's yours. He's in you. You're one with Him. You're seated in heavenly places with Him. You're one with that. See, you're one with health. Do you see? When we try to get something, it's like the way we do it many times is like it's not us. It's something separate we're trying to do rather than it's us. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead's in you, making you alive right now. Now think about that. It's right now inside of you, making you alive. It's not something you're trying to get. See, get out of that thinking. That when I got that revelation as a young Christian, my first year as a Christian, I got that revelation that I was healed. And I got that revelation to realize that I am. That that's already working in me. I got that great revelation. But see, everybody's, we're praying. And prayer is done to try to get God to do something He ain't done yet. That's not faith prayer. So I want you to think about today. You're one with health. You're one with healing. You're one with it. Now don't just think about that today. Think about that. Something comes against you. It is normal for me to get well. It's normal. That's the norm. It's not normal for me not to get well. It's not normal. It's normal. See, you get over there thinking, well, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Before we eat this, just say this. The same Spirit, that raised Jesus from the dead,
lives in me.
He is making my body well
and whole.
He does that all the time.
Because Jesus
took my infirmities,
bore my sicknesses.
By His stripes,
I was healed.
I'm not going to get healed.
I am healed.
Take it and eat. Jesus took His blood and entered into the holiest holies of heaven. It says He made an eternal redemption for mankind. And if you think about it, how did you get saved? Did you get saved? You got saved by a confession. That's how you got saved. The power of that blood, because that blood was put there through a confession. Because see, God saved through Jesus. The blood, His shedding His blood on the cross, saved all humanity. No man, He doesn't have to die for anybody else again. He has died for everyone. And so getting ourselves over in the areas of thinking right, because like I said, when you make a confession, you get born again. Well, how do you get yourself cleansed from any unrighteousness? A confession. Confess or admit your sin. See, this is done by confession. That's the power of the blood. The power of the blood enforces the confession of the Word of God. It's what it does. So you and I, concerning salvation, see, everybody gets their ideas. Well, you know, the blood washes. I don't have to go get blood and dump it on me and wash, take a bath or nothing like that. I make a confession. My confession is about what Jesus Christ did. His blood is in the holies of holies of heaven. So therefore, when I confess what the Word said, it'll come to pass because I'm fully redeemed. You're redeemed by the blood. See, in the Old Testament, it says, without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sin, sin being remitted. From our stand now, with Jesus, Jesus actually took our sin. See, the lamb on the altar never took the sin of humanity. The blood that He took in the sheep, you know, took the lamb blood in to the holies of holies, they did that. That was all symbolism and symbolic. But we need to understand what Jesus did was the removal of sin. And through faith, it is a removal of the nature of sin of man. You as a Christian, because of the shed blood of Jesus, you no longer have the sin nature. That's a total difference. Most of Christianity still believes we have the sin nature. Not true. But you don't have the sin nature. If you want to overcome, you've got to get yourself thinking like that. The blood of Jesus Christ, when He took that into the holies of holies, you and I believed and made a confession. The sin nature was removed and you and I took on the nature of God. See, you need to think about it. I'll tell you what, when you realize you have the nature of God, you will be comfortable communing with God. People aren't comfortable because why? They've been taught too much religion. too much religion, you know, that, well, you know, you're not as good as God. You know, I'm sorry, that's not the Bible. The Bible said, I am as righteous as God is. Are you? See, you have to decide. Is the Bible said or what we believe or we're taught? You're as righteous as God. Fellowship with God is supposed to be your norm. That's your norm. This is to remind us, this is the norm. We're one with that blood. See, Jesus wants you to recognize yourself with Him. He says, you know, He's in you and He's in God. So we're pretty good condition. We're in pretty good position. See, let's live in the light of what this community. This is about fellowship. Hallelujah. It's not to move you away from, oh, He's big and I'm this. No. He's big and He took me into big. He's united us with big. We fellowship with big. And we live like big. Amen? Father, we want to thank You for the blood of Jesus Christ. A wonderful, sinless blood that did for us what nothing else could have done. And we honor Jesus with it and we honor Him. Because by this blood, we can walk and live in perfect fellowship with God. Lord, Father God, we can come to You that anything that we would ask You in the name of Jesus, You'd do it for us. Such wonderful fellowship. Lord God, that I can talk to You and You talk to me and we walk together. Hallelujah. I just want to say thank You. All of this because of the blood. It was Your great work. We give You all the credit for it. But Lord God, we take it all as ours. And we thank You for it, Father. In Jesus' name, take it and drink. Well, you see, if you walk in the light of things, you can walk. You don't have to leave here today feeling guilty. If you've messed up with fellowship, well, if you've listened to what was said to do, you're leaving here in fellowship. See, you want to walk in the light, but you know this is something just not for today. You know, just go along every day. Walk in the light of the revelation of the table about fellowship. Just walk in the light of it every day. Amen. Together. Just do that. Walk in the light. If you miss it, hell, admit it.
Amen. Amen.
Don't make it be hard to do. I mean, I'll tell you what. I don't think it can wear out 1 John 1:9. I don't think so. Because if you could wear it out, I'd have done wore it out. And see, we need to walk in the light. We missed it. We want to stay in fellowship, and that's one of the biggest things we do. And as we looked at Lot today, his whole thing is he lost fellowship. He got away from it. He started fellowshipping with the wrong stuff. He started thinking that other things were more important. Don't do that. Keep yourself in fellowship with God, and you'll clearly be able to see what in life is important for you to do. Amen? God bless you. Have a glorious week.